We've been preaching here over the last number of weeks on through unity, we expect great things. And we're going to continue in that vein because we talked about seven attributes of unity. And we started off speaking about unity brings participation. Unity brings perspective. Unity brings power. When they were all in the upper room, they received power after the Holy Ghost came upon them. And we spoke extensively last week that unity brings patience and perseverance, when God is with us, He will give us the ability to continue through something. He didn't say He was going to take us out of something, but He said, I'll bring you through. That when you go through the water, hallelujah, it will not overflow you. When you go through the fire, it's not going to burn you up. And so God needs to give us an ability to go through, that through ability. So many times we see it and said, God, I don't want to go through. Even Jesus did not want to go through some things, and that's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, God, if it's possible, this cup is bitter, but if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I think that's how we should pray. God, if possible, let this pass, but if not, Lord, give me the ability to go through. Amen. And so as we continue in this journey, we want to talk about a little bit about unity brings peace. There is a peace that comes only from God. Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice. Chapter 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, and the Lord is at hand. And be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then verse 7, which we want to focus on, it says, and then let the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In today's circles that we are in today, we need God's peace because, you know, just turning on the news, just getting up in the morning, just looking at all the things that are going on, even the weather, you don't know what it's going to be. Sister Dorothea, one day is 70, and next 60, and next day is 30, 29. Everything seems to be in flux and change. And so we need to have a peace in our spirit. And so we understand that here are the prerequisites for having peace. First of all, number one, we should rejoice in the Lord always. Wake up in the morning. Find a reason to give Him thanks. Just because you woke up, you know, you ought to be able to say, thank you, Jesus. I'm seeing on this side of glory. I'm still in the land of the living, as my mother used to say. I used to call her as she got older. I said, Mom, how are you doing? She said, well, son, I'm still kicking, but not high. But she was still thankful that she was still in the land of the living. That's the reason I'm still in the land of the living. So we can rejoice with the Lord just for life itself. Hallelujah. Just because we have life. Rejoice in the Lord just because we have a God that's concerned about us, a God that cares. Rejoice in the Lord that you have friends and you have companions and you have people that love you in the body of Christ. And because we're cornerstone, we love each other. We don't always agree with each other. Hallelujah. But we love each other. It's something about the fact that my mother used to say when we went out, now, y'all might fuss at home, but don't you get outside and start fussing. You know, you keep your business at home, you know. If y'all going to fight, y'all fight in the bedroom. Don't fight outside. And it's important for us to stay together and to support each other. Let your moderations be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your prayers be made known unto God. You know, I'm amazed at us as mature Christians that many of us don't even know how to pray. You know, we're not praying for people. We're not praying for each other. We're not praying as a performance art, but we're praying unto God. And as we come unto God, and even as we lead in prayer, in a corporate prayer, we're leading the people of God, voicing the prayers that are outside there together to make our requests made known unto God. Hallelujah. With understanding, with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God didn't tell you to keep the upper lip and don't say anything and you can tough it out. He said, sometimes you got to cry. Have you heard the scripture that this poor man cried and God heard him and delivered him out of all of his problems? Have you ever heard about Hezekiah when the man of God came and told him, said, get your house in order for you shall surely die. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and cried out unto the Lord and reminded God of all the things that he has done. And before he got before the prophet, before the man of God got out of the front gate, out of the yard, God said, turn around and go back and tell him I've heard his cry. Hallelujah. I've seen him. And I'm going to add to him another 15 years to his life. You know, sometimes we say, can you change God's mind? No, you can't change God's mind because he still died. But you can postpone some things too. You know, you can still ask God, God, help me in this thing. Give me a little bit more time. The psalmist said, God, I know you're going to correct me, but don't correct me in your hot displeasure. Have you got a whooping? When I was a kid, worst whooping I ever got, my dad woke me up whooping me. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Hallelujah. What in the world is going on? He didn't get me many times, but when he got me, boy, I knew I had been gotten. Mama would get you sometime, and you cry loud enough, she'd turn you loose after a while. But Dad, Lord Jesus. And sometimes it's like that with God. You don't want God to be angry with you. You know, I tell in counseling, and I'm sure Dr. Judy will back me up and all the other counselors and will back me up on that, Sister Pat, that, you know, you try to correct people, not when you're upset with them. Wait till you get cooled off. I'm gonna help somebody right now, all right? Put your ears on, amen. If it don't apply to you, put your earmuffs on. Amen. But I think it applies to everybody. Wait until you cooled off before you challenge somebody. Just wait and say, you know what? I'm going to talk to you about this after a while. Can we meet? Have dinner. You know what I mean? Ain't nothing like solves the nerves of a man when he's ate something. You know, he simmers down a lot, ladies. Amen. That's another little tidbit. Y'all don't have to tell me about that. But sometimes you can just say, can we talk when it's easy? Not when you all mad, because now they up a level and now you take it up a level and pretty soon both of y'all being scraped off the top of the ceiling. Y'all done gone up so high. Just settle down. Just come calm down and say, can we talk? Sheila don't like my talking. You know, she don't know, oh, Lordy, what are we going to talk about? She don't get many of them, but, you know, sometimes I have to set her down a little bit. Oh, I'm in trouble now. I don't know if I'm going to make it home. Hallelujah. But sometimes you just have to sit down and say, can we talk about this? And be willing to listen as you talk. You know, some people start talking and you're talking to them and they're waiting for you to shut up because they're thinking about their next point. They ain't heard a word that you said. They're going to get the last. Listen to what the other person said. They may make sense. It may mean that you do have a problem. Oh, Lord. Do I have to go down this road? I guess I do. I remember years ago I was in the military. And I had a colonel, boy, I did not like that colonel. I had to go there on Wednesday night and on the weekends. And so I finally said, you know what? I was in the reserves. I said, I'm getting out of this army. And so I got out, and so I went back and went on my job. My job was going pretty good, but you know what? That same spirit came on my job. And then it came on the church, and my wife said to me, I said, look at all these people that got problems. That time, Sister Beverly said, do you think it may be you that have a problem? Sometimes when everybody's got a problem, it may be, maybe you have a problem. Let's see. How many people have been indicted or put in jail around? Oh, let me go on now. Hallelujah. Somebody got a problem. But as we pray, we let our requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Sometimes you just got, have you ever had somebody ask you for something? Kids ask me, I want this, Dad, I want this. Did you thank me for what I gave you before? Are you thankful for what I'm giving you? Or is always, I need, I need, I need. Right, Corey? Hallelujah. My little nephew, he's paying attention. Amen. Sometimes we're always looking at what we need. But the question becomes is, you know, what does God need from us? That's always a question for me when I think about the church. I was always concerned about, I got to get this out of this church. I need to go to this church because it provides me this, it provides me that, it provides me this. And you know, sometimes the Lord said, it's not what the church provides you, but what do you provide the church? That church don't have this. This church, well, maybe God is telling you that so that you can provide that for the church. You're looking for something. I've got to have this. But okay, if you have to have it, bring it. We're going to talk about that even in our meeting, our leadership meeting after the meeting, the service today, that we will learn how to see what is needed and provide that as an offering unto the Lord. Over in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, it says, be of the same mind, one towards another. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind, one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Let me just stop here for just a minute. You know what? It doesn't take much for us to get the big head. Think about it now. People start saying good things about you, and pretty soon you can almost believe your own press about how good you are. I remember watching on TV this young basketball player. They were interviewing Brother Tim Day, and he was going all the way down the court, and he went all the way down the court, switched hands, and dunked with his left hand. And so the newscaster came out and said, man, that was tremendous. I thought you were right-handed, and you dunked with your left hand. He said, Yeah, I know. They didn't know that I was amphibious. He meant ambidextrous, but it was close. It started with an A. He was bragging about himself and really not understanding that, you know, you can have a lot of friends, but it don't take long for them friends to leave you. Only there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. And so, therefore, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Now, sometimes people are not going to be at peace with you. And you can't force somebody to be at peace with you, but as much as it lies within you, you be at peace with them. That means the fact that, you know what? I just not want to say bite my tongue. It doesn't mean that you don't speak up for yourself. You're not Casper Milquetoast and people walk all over you. But learn how to speak the truth in love. Learn how to tell the truth without raising your voice and shouting and getting all mad and smoke coming out of your ears and you know, countenance change. And no. Just learn how to say, you know what? I respectfully disagree with you. I hear what you're saying. I appreciate your opinion, you know what, but this is not, I can't receive that right now. Pray for me, maybe I'll receive it later, but I don't receive that right now. You have to be able to learn how to live at peace with all men. Sometimes, you know, the best thing you can do for somebody is tell them the truth. I'm just going to let it go. I'll let somebody else tell them. No, sometimes you need to take your time, speak the truth in love and say, listen, here is the situation. You need to understand this. These are the consequences of your actions. I love you, but there's still consequences. Come on now. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I may have to leave you. I may have to leave this marriage, but it won't be because I love you. I don't love you. It's because there's consequences of your actions. Oh, y'all never heard a preacher preach that before. Hallelujah. Oh, I know we're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to give in to each other. But at some point in time, when people check out on you, they can abandon you, not only physically, but mentally, intimately. Are y'all with me? And you need to let them know this is a problem. Well, this is X-rayed. I still got kids here, so I'll keep on talking. I'll keep on preaching. But anyway, we need to be able to speak the truth in love. Amen. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, and vengeance is mine, and I will repay, said the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemies hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him something to drink. And so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. And be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm reminded of the story of the Good Samaritan. And in the story, the Good Samaritan, there was a Jewish man on his road to Jericho. And he got stopped by some thieves, and he was beaten up badly, laid on the side of the road. And then it says that an elder in the church, a priest, came by, and he probably spoke in tongues and walked on the other side. He didn't do anything. He just went past the man. He didn't try to help the man. And then there was another person, like a trustee of the church. He came by, and he walked on the other side of the road. But then there was a Samaritan who was an enemy of the Jews, someone who they called dogs, who they would go all around Galilee so they would not have to go through Samaria. They just detested them. But this Samaritan, and that's why he's called the Good Samaritan, saw this man with compassion. That's what we need in this world now, is just a little bit compassion, a little bit, and that compassion will bring forth the bonds of peace. And even though I don't have to do this, even though you don't deserve me helping you, even though you have a problem with me, I am still, because you have a need, Sister Tony, I am still going to help you. I'm still going to extend myself to you. I'm still going to lift you up. And he took this man and he saw him and he poured in water and wine on his wounds and wrapped him up and put him on his donkey and took him down to the inn and paid his price for him and said, take care of him until he gets well, until I come back. And if there's any more that I owe you, I'll pay you when I return. Hallelujah. This is my brother. Hallelujah. Even though he did not have a biological connection with him, but he understood there was a brother that was in need. How many of us will try to help somebody? Now, I'm not talking about all those folks there with their signs out there begging for money. Amen. Because I don't know where that money goes to. But we can see needs all around us. People have needs. And just open up your eyes and see what the needs might be. I am so godly proud of our evangelistic team that's going up to Meadowlark. What is it? Meadow Park nursing home where Brother Ed is, and they're going to sing and praise and worship God there. And many as you can go with them, feel free to do so, because there are people that are in need. I shared with you, I think last Sunday, about how when I went up there to visit Brother Ed, his roommate said, Reverend, shut the door, I need prayer. I went over there where Brother Ed was, and the person in the room with him, his wife said, before you leave, Reverend, will you pray? Then I prayed for Brother Ed and prayed for his mother and father, you know, and not that I went up there to do that, not that I went up there to be elevated, but there are needs that people need. Who's in your neighborhood that need prayer? Who's in your family that need prayer? Who can you help? Can you give somebody an extra 20? I want y'all to start practicing, Santiago, that they can start practicing with me. Just, you don't know how to give away a 20, just put it in pastor's hand. You'll be all right. Just joking. Just joking. Amen. But learn how to buy somebody else's lunch. Last week, I was in the end of the week, Lady Sheila wasn't here. I was picking her up Sunday night, and so I was here late, and so I was getting ready to go and grab me something to eat, and Sister Teresa and Brother Manuel was there, and they said, they're going over to Red Lobster, and so I said, I think I'll join y'all. And before I could get over there, I was running a little late, before I get over there, Sister Teresa said, I've already paid for your meal, Pastor, so don't come in here trying to pay for the meal. You pay for everybody's meal, but I'm going to pay for your meal. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That was more important than just having a meal with them. That's the fact that that was an act of love toward somebody. Who in this congregation can you not take to lunch sometime? Who is there somebody that you can't call on the phone and say, I miss you. I'm so glad to see Sister Joanne here. We missed her. And I know she's battling with her mother being deceased and all those things are overcoming, but we were praying for her. And I pray, Pastor Banks, that we pray for the people on Thursday. Let's get a list, a prayer list of people that we will lift up every Thursday to pray. You know, as well as, you know, what are our prayer agenda for this nation? What's our prayer agenda for this church? That we need to bathe things in prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I was just dealing with a situation and someone asked me to pray about it. And before they got home, things had already changed. I don't know how that happened, but I know it came about through prayer. Amen. And when we pray about something, rather than fuss about it, every time you get ready to fuss about it, you pray about it. Every time you get ready to complain about it, pray about it. Every time you get ready to tell somebody else about the problem, you pray about it. You will see a change taking place. I'm still talking about peace. How do you get peace? It's through prayer. I'm preaching good here. Y'all just don't know it. Amen. And so as we continue to pray, as we continue to worship God, God sends peace into our midst. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that it is the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and he will keep our hearts in Christ Jesus. And then the next P that we talked about is provision. Whatever God has for us to do, he'll provide for us. If there's a vision, there's a pro with it. People say, I got a vision, Pastor, I got a vision. But they ain't got no money and they don't have no results. But if you have a vision, God will some kind of way provide for your vision. Brother Chris and I sometimes we're amazed. He's been the chairman of the board here and the covenant group. And we know where God has brought us to. We know that when we were getting ready to close on this land and we signed a contract just as big as we were owed, Sister Dorothy Peacock, we signed that contract and didn't have no money in the bank. But we believed God. And at the time we got ready to close, and my daughter's a CPA, and she said, Dad, it was to the exact dollar amount that we needed in the bank to close on the land. I know what God can do. I remember when the inspector told me, when we get ready to move in this building, we have been marching around this land and extending our hands towards this building and declaring that we're going to be worshiping here. And I told everybody we're going to be worshiping in our building on Easter Sunday morning. And on Good Friday, it was a bad Friday because the chief inspector came the inspector came and said, Reverend, you better call your people because you ain't going to meet here this week. I said, oh, Lord. I walked around the building and began to weep, tears in my eyes. And I said, God, I don't know what to tell these people. We are looking to move into this building. And as I walked back to the front of the building, inspection car came up. Brother Ricky and guy pulled up, tall guy, Bob Francis, person I had known in leadership in Howard County, came and he said, Reverend, he said, what's going on? I said, you know, your inspector told me that we were not going to be able to move into this building. He said, raise up your head now. You don't need to cry about it. Just raise up your head. That's the way you just bat your eyes and you can hold back. And he was just cheering with me. He said, but listen, let me tell you this. I have the responsibility for giving inspections and certificates of occupancy throughout this county. I have that responsibility. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give you an occupancy permit for Sunday. And y'all just worship upstairs. Don't go downstairs. I'm giving you a partial occupancy permit. Somebody was shouting and hollering and carrying on out on the parking lot. Let me tell you something. When you get to a place in your life that you can't, there's some things you can't figure out and you cannot handle, you're at a place of faith and a place of miracles. If you trust God. As long as you think you got a plan, as long as you think you can figure it out, as long as you think you can work this deal, you're not ready to trust in God. But when you get to a point that you don't have no place to go, hallelujah, and say, God, if you don't fix it, it won't be fixed. If you don't make a way, it won't be made. I love that song that they sang, when my back was against the wall, God made a way. Nothing catches him by surprise. Amen. He moved mountains. He caused walls to fall. And with his power, he works miracles. This is the kind of God that we serve. And if he gives you a vision for any kind of ministry, just know he'll provide for it. If you don't see a provision, you better just sit back and wait for a while and say, God, whenever you get ready for me to move ahead, you will provide. Amen. Amen. I remember one time this young minister came to me, and y'all bear with me. I'm getting to the end of the road here. He said, Pastor, I the Lord told me that I'm going to co-pastor with you. I'm going to join you. I said, well, that's wonderful. I said, that's wonderful. He said, I think we can merge our churches together. I said, well, praise God. I said, that's a wonderful thing. I said, how many people you have? Well, I don't have anybody, but I'm so dynamic, I'll just draw everybody there. He wasn't trying to merge. He's trying to take over. I've been around long enough to know he ain't going to take over. Hallelujah. They used to call me in business, Brother Chris, they used to call me the Velvet Hammer. You're going to get hammered. It just might be smooth the way it gets hammered. But you ain't going to get away with nothing. Hallelujah. I didn't fall off the Turner truck yesterday. Amen. And so sometimes people think that they're going to just fool you and take advantage of you. But I believe that if you have God inside of you, he'll say, this is a situation you need to minister to. This is a compassion that you need to extend yourself to. And when you do that, then God will be glorified as a result of it. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the unity of the Spirit. We don't understand sometimes that we are spiritual beings that possess a soul that's housed in a body. See, God has given us His Spirit, and His Spirit resides on the inside of our spirit. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not thinketh in his mind. Your mind will tell you everything. You have to be, I'm analytical. I'm going to test everything out. But there's some things that faith caused to happen on the inside of us We don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know how God is going to work it out. But somewhere deep on the inside of our heart, we know that it's going to happen. Hallelujah. As we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth, salvation is made. It's still the same principle in everything that we do. We believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth, and we know that God will work this thing out. Hallelujah. He's working miracles. Don't give up on things. Don't give up on it. We give up on it too soon. Just before the end of the day, just before God works a miracle, we toss in the towel. But sometimes we ought to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Story is told about seven Christians in Russia. And they, during the time, this was in the early, like World War I era, and they said, "We want you to denounce Christ." And each one of the Christians said, "They will not denounce Christ," and they got shot. Next one, "Do you denounce Christ?" And they came on down to the very end. And the last one, when he saw all of his friends dying, he said, "I denounce." And the soldier that was getting ready to pull the trigger said, "Oh no, I'll take your place. Their angels were around you getting ready to take you into heaven. I will take your place. I will not denounce Christ." Sometimes we give up too soon. God is right around the corner, getting ready to work this thing out. But sometimes we have to turn loose our own hold on things. Can I tell you another little story? A young man that was climbing and he slipped. He was climbing these mountains and it was cold and he fell down and he held on. And he cried out to God, said, "God, deliver me." And he heard a voice says, "Let go. I got you." But he couldn't let go. He kept holding on and holding on. And the next morning they came, the rescuers came and they found him holding on to this rope. And he was only 2 feet from the ground. If he would have just let go, God would have brought him into safety. And so many times that's the way we are, holding on. And God said, "Let it go. I got this. You know, nothing's catching me by surprise. I'm working together in your favor, Santiago. Just let it go." You know, it's just amazing to me that we want to hold on to things. And God's saying, let it go. I got this. Amen. I'm going to take care of it. I know you're at the end of your ropes. I know that you don't have a plan. I still didn't get through. You know, next time we're going to talk about preparation. But it doesn't, you know, that's what brings us together in unity. When we have the bond of peace and we stay together, we hold on together. Will you stand on your feet for just a moment? Amen.